This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by David Keller. David's got a fascinating career. He both serves as the chief market strategist for a company called Stock Charts. He also writes a blog. We're going to talk to him today about his role, about how investors can better understand the markets, who his target market is, his blog, and a little bit more. David, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Scott, it's such a pleasure to join you. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today. I've been in the financial industry for about 21 years now, and so have seen, I guess, a number of different cycles, different patterns in the markets, and that has led me to where I'm at now, as you mentioned, with StockCharts.com. I started in the industry in New York in the year 2000, working for Bloomberg, which is, you know, essentially a financial data provider. And then I was a managing director of research up at Fidelity in Boston for about 8 years, from 2008 to 2016, and then rotated out to the Pacific Northwest, joining Stock Charts about a year and a half ago. So it's interesting, when I started in the industry, it was in, you know, mid-2000s. So I learned how to invest while I saw the tech bubble popping, and I saw a lot of investors struggling with the reality of what was happening. And I think that is, I hopefully positioned me and the Stock Charts team pretty well to think about where we're at today with a lot of new investors and helping them make hopefully well-informed decisions, make better decisions, empower them to make good decisions, given the uncertainty we see now.
And what does Stock Charts do exactly? Who's your target market?
So Stock Charts was started in the late 1990s. Our founder, Chip Anderson, was one of the early developers at Microsoft, so was an early Windows developer. And that is why we're located in Redmond, Washington. He remained there. But basically, he left Microsoft and bought the domain StockCharts.com because he was an engineer and was fascinated with stocks, with how prices move. So he decided to develop a way to visualize market activity using technical analysis, so designed stock charts. And after that, started partnering with well-known investors and authors, people like John Murphy and Martin Pring, who literally wrote the two books that I probably read first about investing, and has built it into a successful online enterprise. And so the goal of Stock Charts is really to empower online investors, empower individual investors to understand the markets more effectively. And so if you think about when it was started in the 1990s, it was Chip recognizing that there were a lot of, you know, new, relatively uninformed investors sort of entering the markets for the first time. This is when, you know, tech stocks were rising, day trading became more possible for individuals, you know, brokerage commissions came way down. And so he saw an opportunity to help educate and empower individuals. And so that's really the focus of what we're doing, is individual investors, self-directed investors.
And how can individual investors, I mean, there's this great, you know, world out there of individual investors investing in individual stocks versus investing in index funds versus investing in mutual funds. And obviously you've worked at Fidelity, one of the great providers of financial services to individual investors, and it allows people obviously through their brokerage platform to work in any of those areas.
Well, that's exactly right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's exactly right. And I think with the challenge that there's a great opportunity for individuals to access the markets. Arguably, it is cheaper and easier for an individual investor to trade stocks and, you know, groups and themes using ETFs and other products. It's easier and cheaper now than it ever has been. But also the fact that the barriers are so low to enter the markets, unfortunately, that means I think there's a greater responsibility for individuals and for, you know, information providers, for platforms like ours to help educate investors and make sure that they understand the actions that they're taking. So, you know, great opportunity, great access. There's nothing bad about that, I don't think at all. But I think the challenge is it also means there's more of a burden on individual investors to make sure they understand what they're doing, because it is very easy to get over, you know, in an overcomplicated situation where there's so much that there's a fire hose of information and a fire hose of opportunity. So what we try to do really is sort of cut through that noise and help give people a relatively straightforward game plan.
And so let me ask you a question. So back in the day, you know, I'm older, so I remember these things. I remember the dot-com crash and losing enough of my equities to be much more balanced for the rest of my life. I remember Peter Lynch very famously being of the point, invest in things that you think you know, at least you're familiar with. You know, so if you were a regular Gap shopper, he would tell you to invest in the Gap. If you were a regular this shopper, he would tell you to do that, and so forth. And then, you know, there's a famous clip on 60 Minutes recently about how overvalued Amazon was in the 1990s when it was getting started versus Sears. And you know, could you believe that they were valuing Amazon so high? Can individuals, true individuals, you know, not people that do this, have made themselves do it for a living, become really professional investors, can true individuals pick stocks with good research and help? Or is that really a very challenging thing to do? Any thoughts on that?
It's a really good question, Scott. And I think, you know, you mentioned Peter Lynch, two of his quotes that resonate with your question. I think number one is what you suggested, you know, invest in what you know or some form of that. So, you know the companies that you invest in. And the second thing he said was, you know, only invest in ideas you can illustrate with a crayon. And there's a simplicity and an awareness in sort of his approach. And if you look at what he did, obviously he's a full-time stock picker, but focused on names that he knew and focused on simple ideas of what should grow over the long term. And I think, is there an opportunity for individuals to, you know, be able to invest in individual equities and find success in that? Absolutely. I think the challenge is, there is certainly a set of information, a set of tools you should have available to you if you're going to go and invest in equities. The more that you go into individual stocks, the more of a time and energy commitment, I would argue, you are making or you should be making to make sure that you're managing your risk and your reward very well. And that is what people like Peter Lynch did very well. It wasn't just about finding the next big thing. It was about managing the risk and making sure that you understood that greater opportunity, greater return often comes with greater risk, greater potential for loss, and managing those too. I see a lot of new investors thinking about the reward side of things and not enough on the risk side of things.
And that's particularly easy to do in this environment where over the last year things have shot up. Talk for a second about sort of the GameStop, Robinhood phenomenon, and how do you make sense of those kinds of things as an investor? Or do you just say that's just noise in sport and really stay away from that unless you realize you're doing it for sports and noise, but not doing it as a serious investor?
No, it's a really good question. I mean, we've seen an unprecedented moves in stocks like GameStop and AMC and other similar names that really, you know, violently rose and then violently came down just as quickly. You know, I think what that represents is a couple things. Number one, it illustrates the power of individual investors. You know, using social media, there is an impact that individual investors had on the market that is unlike anything I've certainly seen, you know, in 21 years of doing this. I think for many of us, it was an unusual set of circumstances, but they basically, you know, were able to, you know, to really impact the movement of the stock by taking a focused action together. You know, so for me, I think when there is increased volatility, when something expands to that point, it is very difficult to have a disciplined, well thought out approach to trade a name like that during that environment. We always encourage investors to take a step back, to look at the big picture and how things are evolved, recognizing that something, you know, the movement in a stock like GameStop was what I'd call euphoric. It was an exponential rise. And the challenge with any name like that, it had very bubble-like characteristics on a very short-term time frame. You find a very violent rise and then a very quick move to the downside. So is it okay to go into a name like that? I think it is very risky because the increased volatility means increased risk. So as long as you are aware of that and think about that and manage that, that can be okay. But I'd be prepared that a stock going up significantly can come down just as significantly with little or no warning. And I think that's where a lot of investors unfortunately get caught on the right side of that bubble and struggle. So we always, you know, try to encourage people to take a step back and focus on trends and how they evolve, less on short-term fluctuations like we saw with some of the stocks.
Thank you. And talk to us about another issue. I've got on with us today is Grace, who's our producer. And she's a relatively young producer, you know, coming out of college, all that kind of stuff. What advice do you give to a young investor just getting going on investing in terms of how to look at these kinds of issues?
That's a really good question. Grace, I hope this serves you well. But what I would say is, you know, three things, especially if you're looking at individual stocks, I think there are three things that you want to remember. Number one, understand the company, right? Think about what you're investing in. As you mentioned with Peter Lynch, you talked about, you know, investing in what you know. I've known people who try to just trade tickers. They trade things and they don't know what they are. The good news about ETFs and funds and so forth is you have access to a lot of different markets and a lot of different things. Always understand what you're actually buying and understand the exposure that you're getting there. That would be point number one. The second thing is understand the stock itself. You know, a good company, a good product doesn't always make a good stock. So it really helps to understand the trends and look at what's working and look at what isn't. That's where for us, technical analysis has been an ideal toolkit to help you follow trends and understand, you know, how things are evolving and where the opportunities may be. And then the third thing I would say would be understand the environment, you know, learn about what the market overall is doing, you know, lean on others that have done this for many, many years and see how they're trying to deal with the current environment. Because right now you have things like a rising interest rate environment, inflation concerns, and those can all impact stocks in a way that you may not be aware of because the last time it happened was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So the good news is we can always go back and see how people have dealt with similar scenarios in the past. So those would be my three suggestions.
And David, another question. You've built a brilliant blog. Talk for a moment about your blog and where people can find your blog.
So we have a couple of things that I think people could be really, really, could be helpful for everyone. You know, the first, my blog is called Market Misbehavior. If you go to marketmisbehavior.com, you'll see my blog and YouTube channel. That focuses really on helping investors make better decisions and think about how you think as an investor. I've spent a lot of time working with investors on their routines, on their habits, on the way that they add discipline to their process. And that may be of help to your listeners. The second thing is for stock charts, the best place to get all of our content is stockchartstv.com. That's our new on-demand platform. And so we have a bunch of written commentary and video commentary every day where experts that, again, have been doing this successfully for years and years can share how they're, you know, interpreting the current market, where they're looking for opportunities and how they're managing the risk. And I've known a lot of newer investors gain a lot of value from seeing how those that have come before them are dealing with the same uncertainty that they're seeing.
How do you make sense of, you know, I love the market misbehavior concept and love what you're doing. Do you invest yourself in individual stocks? And I won't ask you for a stock pick today because I think that's probably the wrong thing to do. But are you yourself an individual investor as well as an ETF or mutual fund investor? How do you look at it if you're willing to talk about that?
No, I'm happy to. And certainly I do a little of both. What I tend to use what's called the core and explore model. And my friend Gaddis Rose has written a book and talks about the idea of core and explore. And others have tried to, you know, have done similar ideas than this. So you have a core set of positions which are really driven by big picture, long-term things. And those things I don't tend to touch a lot. I look at them about once a month. And I rebalance them, and it's using a series of probably 13 to 15 ETFs that I'd rotate around depending on the trend. So I use a set of charts to figure out what's working, and I lean into what's working. And if something stops working, I lean away from it. And that, for the core of the position, the core of my portfolio has worked very, very well. And then the explore part is where I can get, you know, focus on a particular thing like, a Peloton when it starts going up a ton, the work from home theme when that emerges, e-commerce stocks, cannabis stocks, you know, things like that that may be of interest. I do very little of that with individual names. I try to use ETFs as much as possible, only because for me, I as I mentioned earlier, I think when you own an individual name, you are committing, I think, either intentionally or unintentionally to understanding that company and understanding the risks involved with it. And unless I can focus enough of my time to feel comfortable with that, I try to avoid that as much as possible.
Right. And if you invest directly in a cannabis stock and Peloton, you are likely to have a very dizzying ride. That's a horrible take a moment on the role of quote unquote chief market strategist. What is the role of chief market strategist in top priorities?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So we're a relatively small company. I mean, I think we have 32 employees all based in Redmond, Washington. So the company has remained very lean. Which has been great. It's a small private company, which gives us a lot of flexibility, and that's coming from a larger institution with, you know, 44,000 employees, coming to a smaller operation has been a fascinating experience and one I've enjoyed a great deal. I think of my role in three pieces. I mean, my job is to help stock charts, you know, I would say empower, educate, and inspire. That's kind of what I have written on a bulletin board at home. So, you know, number one is to empower, right? Give investors tools that they need to make better decisions. So a lot of what I do with the management team is think about the strategic direction of our product, think about what tools investors are looking for, you know, things like cryptocurrencies and, you know, others that kind of come out and grow in interest. You know, we need to think about what we should provide to allow people to understand those markets more effectively. So that's the first piece. The second piece in terms of educate, that's a big part of what StockCharts is trying to do. So we have a whole set of the product of the platform called Chart School. And if you go to our website, you'll see it right at the top of the screen. That's literally an educational, it's the college course you wish you had to learn how to invest your own money. And that's kind of how we think of it. So part of what I do is contribute to that and educate, do a lot of educational videos and articles to help people understand what's happening. And then the third is inspire. So a big part of what we do is expert commentary. So I mentioned guys like John Murphy and Martin Pring, myself, and a suite of about 20, 25 contributors provide different commentary every day. And what we try to do is, you know, allow people to look over our shoulder and see how we're trying to deal with the interest rates and inflation and gold prices and stocks and technology versus finances and all those questions that we're trying to figure out. We sort of show people, here's what we're seeing, here's what we're thinking. And those would be the three areas of focus for me.
Well, fantastic. And I loved it. Empower, educate, and inspire. And here's, I guess, the question. You mentioned cryptocurrencies. You know, it seems like, and you mentioned earlier on information overload and drinking from a fire hose, which is so, so true. How does an individual investor get their minds around thinking about how they're going to approach the market when there is so much information overload? And I guess I love your theory of core and explore. So you'll have your core holdings, your core concepts, and that might be for one investor who's nearer to retirement, a lot of treasury bonds, a lot of CDs, and then a lot of, you know, some munis, and then a core set of index holdings, whether, you know, broadly in the S&P or NASDAQ, whatever it might be, and then exploring. If they want to screw around with other stuff, that's fine, but recognize that the other stuff is really exploring, and so go pretty light, pretty early, as you rigorously try to understand those areas before you dig deeper into that. So that concept of core and explore, you'd be an advocate of that concept.
Absolutely, because for me, the challenge, if your whole portfolio is explore, that is a very uncomfortable place to be. I don't think any of us, probably very few of us, have the time or, you know, energy that is required to, you know, and if that is going to be your full-time effort, you could perhaps do that. That's what money managers are trying to do every day. But for me, doing a lot of other things, I mean, I have found that gives you sort of the peace of mind that you are not going to completely destroy your wealth that you've accumulated because you've made bad decisions. You have the opportunity to see upside in places like cryptocurrencies or something more risky that you may want to go into. It's a relatively small piece of it. So for me, that's been a nice balance of opportunity, but, you know, having opportunity, but also a manageable amount of risk that is limited. And so for me, that's been a great way to balance. I'd certainly suggest people look into that idea.
Keeping your core relatively secure, whatever you view as your core mission in investing, your core, and then your explore might be taking 1% bigger chances, whatever percent bigger chances, or testing out other areas. Like you're back in the financial bank stocks, you're back in these kinds of stocks as you're exploring that, if it's not part of what, quote unquote, your core strategy. I think that's a great way to look at it. David, final question. Where can people learn more about David Keller and stock charts and so forth?
Yeah, thanks again. And it's such a pleasure to join you and chat with you. I hope this was time well spent for your listeners. I'd encourage people to look two places. One is on my website. It's called marketmisbehavior.com. I encourage people to check that out to just think about how you think as an investor. And I've found from people just getting started, they've told me that some of the courses I have on there are really helpful just to give them a groundwork, you know, to lay the framework for good decisions down the road. And then stockcharts.com is our main site. And again, our goal is to empower individual investors to make better decisions. So there's a lot of resources on there to help you see what's happening, as an investor to understand the markets more and understand what questions you should be trying to answer, and then give you, again, a window into some experts and how they're approaching things. And we think it's a pretty powerful combination there.
Well, I will tell you, you are truly terrifically informative and a pleasure to visit with. I know our listeners will enjoy it a great deal. Thank you, David, so much for joining us. What a pleasure.
Absolutely, Scott. Take care. Be well.